This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Ki Savo, and of course we begin Parshas Ki Savo with the mitzvah of Havos Bikurim, and we're told at the time of bringing the Bikurim B'Amar Toi, love, you should say to the Kohen, and Rashi explains that when you bring the Bikurim, you need to tell the Kohen that you're not an ingrate. Now why do you have to say you're not an ingrate? Isn't it enough not to be an ingrate? So Rav Noach Weinberg explained that saying something out loud concretizes your thoughts and makes them real. Saying it out loud enables you to see where you're holding. There are no pretenses when you say something out loud, and so it's kedai for a person to be able to go ahead and do so. We're also told that after he does the mikvah bikurim, we're also told about something called vidui meiser that is said every fourth and seventh year Pesach time, and the person says, I got rid of everything that I was supposed to get rid of, I gave it to where it was supposed to be, and we say, Ashkifa, im on kachacha, Kadosh Baruch, look down from your holy abode, and in Bereishis, around the story of Lot, Rashi reminds us that any time that there's a hashkifa in the Torah, it always brings out an evil outcome, except for the hashkifa over here. Now it's curious that Rashi makes that comment in Bereishis and not over here. Why not say it over here when you're talking about the exception and put the comment over here? So the Rashiva Yeshiva Farakaway Rav Yechiel Yitzchak Per thought that perhaps one could say that even among the angry mobs of stone whose cities had to be destroyed, they would have been saved had they practiced tzedakah, as is the case over here. By highlighting the message of a positive hashkifa, namely from our parsha in the context of the negative, by stone, one can learn that the antidote to the evil decrees is the acts of tzedakah that seem to counterbalance them. We're also told, Haskesu Shema Yisrael, Moshe tells the people, imagine in here, and Sforno comments over here and says that the words Haskes refer to making a picture in the mind, and Shema refers to the contemplation. When you can do both, you'll undoubtedly hear the voice of Hashem. So Rav Olbi explained that picturing Torah concepts in our mind can help us fulfill mitzvos. By picturing the pillar of fire illuminating the night, or 90 donkeys surrounding the people at Yetzias Mitzrayim, each one carrying a tremendous load as the people left, as they were being led by Moshe B'Aaron, it's not merely fulfilling a specific mitzvah, it's an essential part of our emunah. Picturing Hashem declared as HaMelech makes it easier to accept Him on Rosh Hashanah as Melech HaKol HaAretz, right? It makes it easier to see Him as the King over the whole world. We're also told that the nations of the world will see the name of Hashem is upon you, and they will take fear from you. Now the Rambam notes that this will be learned by the nations of the world when they see that we're doing as Hashem does. Rav Shachter would regularly remind us that when we act in the manner that a Tzelem Elokim is supposed to, then the nations of the world will learn also how to act with the Yirah Shamayim, having learned this from watching us, Mimekah, from watching that which is watching, from watching us. Right? Unfortunately, if we don't listen, there will also be a Tochacha, which makes up the bulk of the entire Parsha. And the Avas Torah of Shlomo of Krishnov points out that we read the Tochacha in a low voice because Al Pi Sod, at least from a Kabbalistic interpretation, the Kolos are actually supposed to be reinterpreted into Brachos. And so when we tell secrets, when we tell Sod, we whisper them rather than saying them out loud. That's why we go ahead and we say it quietly. We're also told that a lot of this stuff comes, Tachash Asherlo, Avadata Es Hashem Elokecha, B'Simcho B'Tov Leiva. We didn't serve Hashem with joy. Now why would we be punished for the performance of mitzvos without simcha? Is simcha that important to the fulfillment of mitzvos that not having simcha warrants horrible punishment? So Reb Chaim Voloshiner suggests that the Torah is not addressing the simcha that goes into the performance of a specific mitzvah, but rather our general attitude towards mitzvos. If our general approach to mitzvos is that they're a burden rather than something enriching, then we are worthy of punishment. The Kotzker Rebbe takes this in a different direction and suggests that the Torah is not stating this as a punishment, but rather as a reality. If we observe mitzvos and see them as a burden, our observance will never last. Our observance has to be infused with simcha, because if not, we can end up on a path where our actions truly deserve punishment, right? So we have to make sure that what we do is indeed something that is litov. We're also told, Eila Divrei Abris, the end of the Tochacha is just simply, these are the words of the covenant. And Rashi notes that Nitzavim is next to the Tochacha, since when they heard the 100 minus 2 Klalos, aside from the 49 in Bechukosai, so the people were scared and they didn't think they could withstand it. So Moshe Rabbeinu consoled them by reminding them that Atem Nitzavim, that you're still standing. But the question has to be raised, Excuse me. Why does Rashi present the number as 100 minus 2? Why didn't he just simply say 98? Isn't that much more logical? And what about the curses that are not written, but referenced here? And why is this tochacha the one that brings out the fear out of the people instead of the one that was in Parshas Bechukosai? So Ashkenazi chief rabbi Rav David Lau quoted his grandfather, Rav Yitzchak Yedidya Franco, who explained that in Bechukosai, there are two psukim of Nechama at the end. And that's why Rashi phrases it as 100 minus 2. The 2 refers to the two psukim of Nechama that are missing. And because the Nechama was missing, that's why the Jewish people had such a bad reaction over here, as opposed to the reaction over there, where at least there was hope for the future. And that's something for us to be aware of. We're finally told in the Haftorah, which we will read from Yishayo this coming Shabbos, Kineach Choshech Yechasa Eretz. Darkness may cover the earth. And Rav David Feinstein's Zatzal explained that darkness is the power of denial that Hashem has the ultimate power over the world, believing instead that the forces of nature will always prevail. So Chazal tells us that before Mashiach comes, the rulers of the world will come heretics. And nevertheless, Hashem assures Klal Yisrael that He'll give us the spiritual strength to withstand the false ideas that surround us. Our Amuna, our faith will prevail and will illuminate the world, whether the world is ready for it or not. And so with that, we take the opportunity to hopefully continue davening for the Geula. We've never needed it more than we need it today, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send it to us. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bless you all with a Shabbat Shalom and a Ksiva V'Chasima Tova.